brand responsibility. How much stock should we put into it in 2025? I'm going to talk about it, giving you three examples this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, I'm your host, Matt Freitz. I hope that this finds you well. I want to thank you for tuning back in. If you are a returning customer, if you're brand new, welcome to the community. We love to have you. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode where I talked about sneakers that haven't aged well in 2025. Certainly some opinions that a lot of people didn't like, but I want to shout out every single person who got in touch with me about the episode, whether it was positive or negative. The entire point is that we are having a discourse in positivity about sneakers, something that we all love. But this week, I want to talk about brand responsibility. And I want to do so by talking about three examples that have been in the news recently, or at least in the sneaker news, that I think are all kind of related for different reasons. So I did a couple of reels about the fact that the Jordan 5 Black Metallic recently released. It was last week on February 8th. And there were some stories that hit social media about some violence that took place at some of these sneaker releases. This is not new to the culture. So a lot of people, when I was looking at the comments, a lot of people who maybe haven't seen something like this happen at a sneaker release felt like, how could this happen? This is ridiculous. Folks, this has been happening for quite a while. It really depends on where you live. It depends on the shoe, the circumstances around the release, the circumstances around the people that are at the release. There has been violence. There has been so many stories. The Concord 11 release from 2011 is something we've talked about before. The Galaxy Foams, like there's so many releases that have happened. The Pigeon Dunks that we know have just had a violent tinge to them, whether it's riots or whether there's some type of crowd control that needs to take place. This isn't new. So the footage that's going around about people fighting in a store over a pair of Black Metallic 5s, while I think it's ridiculous because it's not something that I would do, this isn't foreign to the culture, but it brings up an interesting talk as it relates to Nike and Jordan Brand and how they are handling releases like this in 2025. When they switched over CEOs, from my understanding with the limited research that I did, the new CEO wanted to bring back sneaker hype. And that makes a lot of sense because sneaker hype is what gets shoes to sell out, which is what's making them money. And at the end of the day, Nike CEO, no matter the name, no matter the look, their job is to make sure that Nike continues to be a profitable company. Now, Nike's going to be a profitable company, of course, but how do they do that faster? Well, they obviously sell out more shoes. So that period of time when their stock price was over $150 a share and I was a shareholder, and now you're looking at it under $70, they want to get back to that $150. And how have they started to do that? Well, the Jordan 5 Black Metallic is a shoe that I think a lot of people were looking forward to, and rightfully so. It had been a while since it had released. It's an OG colorway of the Jordan 5, and a lot of people love it. A lot of people want that in their collection. This might be their first opportunity in a while to be able to get their hands on that colorway. And from what I understand, there was a lot of demand for this shoe. It sold out very quickly on sneakers. It sold out in some other places. If you were looking hard enough, you could go to Foot Locker, you could go to some other sites and really be able to find it. And so if you really wanted it, you were able to get it. But it really depended on where you lived. Nike really didn't do a lot of marketing for this shoe in terms of the limited nature of the stock. And so I think that this shoe had a pretty fair amount of stock in terms of the overall amount that were available for people. But as I always say, the supply is never gonna meet the demand. Now, when it comes to the Jordan 1 Bred, they have done a lot of marketing about how limited this shoe is. There were a lot of leaks a couple of weeks ago. I did a video on YouTube about the fact there was only going to be 10,000 pairs and they were only going to go to 23 retailers. That's not a lot of pairs. 10,000 is not a lot. And so a shoe that a lot of people were looking forward to in a very similar fashion to the Jordan 5 Black Metallic, now a lot of people knew that they weren't going to get them. And for a lot of people like me, it was okay because now I don't really have to put a lot of effort into it. I'm probably not going to get it. The math doesn't really work. But for some people, they now see that as, wow, there is a lot of hype here. There is a lot of opportunity for me to make a profit. And that's where when it comes down to brand responsibility, and I think Nike and Jordan Brand, what responsibility do they have for violence at their releases? Well, they really don't have a responsibility directly because they really can't control that as a brand. But one thing they can do is be more cognizant about some of the elements that are percolating around a release and try to mitigate some of those things the way that they go about their marketing. The way that they are heavily going after the Jordan 1 bread makes me wonder if people are going to see it as an opportunity for resale profit. And that's a part of the game that didn't exist the way that it does today, a decade or 15 years ago. Is now when a sneaker releases, yes, there's obviously a lot of people who want it for being able to have it in their collection, wear it, whatever. But there are a lot of people who are not actually in the sneaker game the way that we are, who see these shoes, especially the really hyped ones, as a profit opportunity because resale has become a profitable business. Obviously, it's gone down quite a bit. You have to do a lot more work today. But during the pandemic, people were making money hand over fist reselling shoes. And so a shoe like the Black Metallic Jordan 5, a shoe like the Bred Jordan 1s, those represent opportunity for a lot of people. And that's an element that I think when you couple it with where some of these releases take place, where they're more populated areas, maybe that profit margin means more to people in certain areas, depending on where it's releasing. These are factors that I think Nike needs to take more into consideration when they think about these releases, when they think about how they market it. I know that they're trying to get profit. They're going to get that in the end. Don't worry, Nike and Jordan Brand, if you're listening, you are going to get it. But I think you can go about it a different way and take a little bit, a small amount of responsibility. I think where we find it disconnected is the fact that Nike and Jordan Brand are such a big company that we feel very disconnected from them as the boots on the ground in the culture. And so when these CEOs get into a room, I'm sure they hear about these stories, but I'm also sure that they don't really resonate with them because they don't connect with us. They don't have a natural connection point to the boots on the ground like us for them to feel any kind of remorse for when this happens. Most likely they blame it on ridiculous people, and certainly you can blame it on that. But that's where I think the responsibility comes in. But then if you look at New Balance, New Balance is a brand that I feel, maybe you'll disagree, that has what I consider a very benign reputation as a brand. Because up until they became really involved in sneaker culture, New Balance was seen as a brand for middle-aged men, probably people like me, certainly my dad when he was my age, but I refuse to wear the all-gray New Balances with high white socks. I just can't do it. Because all I see is my father, and I just can't, folks, I'm sorry. But New Balance over the last few years has done a great job of spreading, in my opinion, a lot of positivity in the culture because they haven't really gotten embroiled in a lot of these scandals, if you want to call them scandals, like fighting at releases and so forth. However, earlier this year with the Lorenz.OG 860 release, that was the release that you had to have a golden ticket like Willy Wonka. There was a little bit of drama about that release because if you've seen that original movie from, I think, 1971, you know that there was a lot of hype and a lot of hysteria about the golden ticket. So, of course, if you add that to a very limited sneaker, it's going to happen. I think that shoe is going for almost $1,100 in my size on GOAT. So there was a little bit of drama with that. I don't think that New Balance felt like they had to make a move in response to that to sort of mitigate any of that. But when I look at what Joe Freshgoods is doing, Joe Freshgoods right now is having a good 5-year run. He's had a lot of really, really nice quality releases that have gone well. And for some years, he has been designer of the year. And you know what? He's earned those accolades because people love the stuff that he does. He has another release coming out, I think later in February, maybe even in March. And he's doing a little bit of a marketing campaign around that. But this marketing campaign, in my opinion, is genius and plays right into brand responsibility by spreading positivity. Joe Freshgoods is getting outside. He's going to different places. Actually, a supporter of the show recently got to meet him at one of his meet and greets here in Washington, D.C. And you got to go meet him, pick up some stuff, get a picture. And you know what's happening there? He's building goodwill with the culture. They're building community. He's making a connection point with the people, maybe not individual people as they come up, but he is making a connection point with the people that walk in there. These are the people that are buying my product. He's making sure that he has some kind of a connection point to that. And that's important for your brand because Joe Freshgoods himself is a brand. Yes, he works for a larger brand in New Balance, but Joe Freshgoods is the name that people associate when he comes out with his New Balance releases. they don't really associate them with New Balance the way that you would if you were going to buy a running shoe or something performance. If you're going to a Joe Freshgoods release, you are going because Joe Freshgoods designed this shoe. He is a brand. And by doing the work that he is doing, in my opinion, I think that he's doing a great thing. I think that he is taking responsibility of his brand, responsibility that his face, his persona is part of that brand, and he's trying to make sure that there's as much goodwill and positivity around it as possible. And I like that. I understand that Nike and Jordan Brand can't necessarily do that anymore because they've grown too large to be able to really do something that organic and that connected to the real grassroots of what's happening. Joe Freshgoods, though, as one man, has an opportunity to do that, and he's doing it very well right now. I think the community and the culture needs more of that. I think we need more community building, and I think we need to spread more positivity between each other because we all love sneakers, we just all live the culture a different way. But the last example that I want to use is one that is very polarizing, and I want to say out front before I talk about this that nothing that I say is meant to be construed as any type of a real political opinion. I'm not somebody who delves into politics very often in general, and I never do on this podcast because to me, it's about separating myself from it. But when it comes to brand responsibilities and not understanding that you are a brand, I think Kanye West is the prime example right now of somebody who once had, like Joe Freshgoods, the ability to make real change and influence with his brand, to somebody now that doesn't understand that everything that he does is a reflection of that brand. So rewind a bit, and Kanye West and Yeezy were Mount Rushmore in terms of sneaker designers, sneaker brands. Yes, they were working with Adidas, but Yeezy was the brand. We all know this. Adidas made so much money off of Yeezy. Adidas made so much money off of everything that Kanye was doing with their brand. And as soon as he left, they saw their bottom line come down to the point that they started selling some of the extra stock that they had. But Kanye as an individual, and yes, of course, by extension as a brand, but Kanye as a man has had a very tumultuous 5 or 6 year period, probably even more than that. It's been a ride, folks. It's been a roller coaster with him. But recently in the news, Shopify, who again is a large brand, and I think again understands the responsibility of what they need to do as a brand to cover their ass, recently took down his Shopify shop because Kanye was selling a t-shirt, a white t-shirt with a swastika. The swastika is a symbol that I think most people, nearly 100%, can look at it and say that represents evil. Because I think many people will look at it, associate it with World War II, associate it with Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust, and they see it as evil. That's certainly how I see it. It is not something that I think is appropriate to traffic in when it comes to profitability. It is not something that I think is smart to even put anywhere near anything that has your name on it. Kanye has been doing things that have been towing or crossing the line for quite a while. But in my opinion, this crossed the line. And Shopify knew that. And Shopify said, we don't want any part of it. Yeezy now as a brand is cooked. It probably has been cooked for a while, but Kanye the man, the representative of that brand, has gone so far down a road that I think so many people now look at him, look at Yeezy and think, I could never support that. It does bring along a conflict of interest for a lot of people because many people probably listening to this show have Yeezys in their collection because they bought them during that peak time. They're still great shoes. That's the thing. It's not like they all of a sudden have become bad shoes. But there's a conflict of interest in terms of morality for a lot of people who think, should I be wearing my Yeezys? What does it say outwardly if I do wear my Yeezys? I'm not here to solve that problem for you. That kind of gets into the whole political aspect of things. For me, I think wearing a Yeezy doesn't necessarily outwardly represent everything that I feel about everything that is going on in this world. And certainly if somebody were to confront me, if I had a Yeezy, which I don't even have that many of them anymore, I would have a conversation with them about this shoe right here does not represent everything about me. And that's where the whole separating the art from the artist becomes very difficult. I think it's easier today because Kanye isn't really a big name. If this was 2019 and this was happening, people would feel a lot differently. But I think if you don't feel comfortable wearing them, don't wear them. Because if that is something that you think affects your brand, then don't do it. And that's what this whole episode is all about. These three examples are about big brands, small brands, and having a responsibility for what that brand means to you and what it means to the community. I think Nike and Jordan Brand are, I don't want to say they're Teflon, but they're close to it. Violence at a sneaker release is not going to send people down a rabbit hole of I'm never going to wear these again. Joe Freshgoods, doing great work, building community, all that is positive and definitely helpful to his brand, and it's taking responsibility for his brand. And then Kanye, well, Kanye is a dumpster fire, Yeezy is cooked, and it is what it is. But all three of these can be learned from, and I think that they're great examples of how the brands in general, no matter whether it's a big brand or no matter whether it's your brand, make sure to take responsibility and make sure that that brand is what you want to project to other people. Hope you enjoyed this episode, folks. If you want to connect with me, Instagram at Fire Footwear Pod, TikTok at Fire Footwear Pod. Please seek out the YouTube channel, like, subscribe, all of that. We are so close to getting to our goals on YouTube. I would really appreciate everybody's help. For those of you listening, subscribe, rate, review. They help. They help me chart. Like I said, we're so close to these goals. The community that we're building, it just continues to build every single day. And I want to continue to bring great content to you. Continue to build this community because I love what we're doing. And I just want to share in this love of sneakers with all of you. Before I get out, as it relates to support, I do want to shout out one specific person, and that is Rico. If you've listened to Sneak This podcast, you have heard his voice, you've heard his opinion. Some of you, many of you probably don't agree with them, but I want to shout out Rico specifically because Rico is a good example of what I'm trying to do with this content. He has reached out a few times just to talk, just to say something about the content that I've done, to have an opinion. Yeah, maybe a loud opinion. But has also just been supportive, friendly, and in today's world, sometimes that is very rare. And I've shouted out a lot of people on the show, a lot of the listeners that have been just so wonderful over the years. But Rico, I just want to shout out you. Thank you for being just a good dude, honestly. Hope this finds everybody well. I hope this finds everybody safe. And I'll talk to you next time, fam. This is Fire Footwear. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guest, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.